Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acreck, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson. This week, the Bound by Books crew could not get together to do the radio show for you all, so instead of me just talking to everyone about books, I thought I'd play a fun throwback episode to March 2012, when an early group of co-hosts of the Bound by Books show had a special radio broadcast where they discussed fairy tale adaptations or books with fairy tale connections. And so this episode will feature the voices of Tony Bellamy Talbot, Quinn Gunter, and Maddie Turner, and myself. But we hope you enjoy, and then I'll be back next week with the current crew of Bound by Books hosts. But we hope you have a great week with lots of quality reading time. Enjoy!
If only it was so simple. Oh, you wanna nanti bubu danti billy dat lono, 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 oh, you wanna nanti bubu danti billy dat lono, oh, you wanna nanti bubu danti billy dat lono, oh, you wanna nanti do, up di la do. Only one and the people didn't really that loan, only one and the people didn't really that loan, only one and the people didn't really that loan, only one and the door, up the hill that door. Only one and the people didn't really that loan, only one and the people didn't really that loan, only one and the people didn't really that loan, only one and the door, up the hill that door. Only little
Welcome, radio listeners. This is Bound by Books, Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Quinn. I'm from Haines Falls, and I'm 11 years old.
I'm Antonia. I'm from Hudson, and I'm 12 years old.
I'm Maddie. I'm from Caro, and I'm 11 years old.
I'm Emily. I'm an adult, and I'm from Hudson. Did Antonia get her age right this time?
I did.
Last week, she was 12 years old for the first time on the radio ever, and she said she was 11.
Yeah. Whoops. We're here every Monday from 3:30 to 4 p.m. p.m., I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Talking about books. Books we love, books we're currently reading.
All that good stuff.
Yay. Including Quinn has a good stuff she wanted to mention.
I was born in Hudson.
Cool. Yay.
I was born in England.
I was born in Illinois.
I was born in Albany.
All right, so now we're going to go back to the books. That was the good, all the good stuff. So today we have a special show planned. We're all talking about fairy tale retellings or books otherwise connected to fairy tales. And why don't we start with Antonia? What book did you bring today?
I brought A Tale Dark and Grim by Adam Gidwitz. And it is basically the story of Hansel and Gretel, except for it starts like in the beginning with Hansel and Gretel, and then there's a bunch of other stories that are kind of, I think, sound familiar from other fairy tales, but I'm not really sure which ones, but the characters are always Hansel and Gretel. And it's kind of funny, like in the middle of a story randomly, it will always switch to like a different font, and then it will say something that the narrator or the narrator is thinking, like, I don't know, something in a different font, and it's kind of interesting. And she's always telling you to like hire a babysitter for the little kids because, I don't know, this part's getting gross or something like that.
She says it repeatedly, especially in the beginning of the book.
Yeah.
So there's like warnings for the reader.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, like maybe you don't want to read anymore because this part gets a little scary. That sort of thing.
Tell your little brothers and sisters, that's the end of the story. Okay, you can go to bed now.
Yeah. And also at the end of a chapter always, it says the end randomly. And then it's like, just kidding, that wasn't really the end. Ha ha. And the chapters are really long. It's kind of a typical fairy tale. Like, it starts out, once upon a time, there was a king, and the king died, and he left his castle to the prince, and then there was a pretty princess, and he said he could go in every room except for one. Then he went in that room, saw the painting of the pretty princess with the golden hair, and he fell in love with the princess. You know, it's like your typical fairy tale. But then they have, like, Hansel and Gretel, and all kinds of things that they go on all adventures. I thought it was a bit young for me, even though it always says, like, it's gross, but I still thought it was a bit young. But it was okay.
And I think Maddie read this book, too.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
Well, I thought it was pretty good. The writing style wasn't great at sometimes, like, the way that the author wrote it, but I liked the little interventions of narrator sections and the stories they told, like how they sort of expanded Hansel and Gretel. Like, it wasn't just the evil lady in that cooked them, like, and it wasn't a witch in this. It's like she's just a lady, like, you know, when you're little and your mom says, oh, you're so cute, I could just eat you up. Well, this lady once did to her children, and she discovered she liked the taste of children.
Uh-oh.
And she devoted her life to trapping them and eating them.
So she's not a witch necessarily. No. But she's an evil old lady.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's just a baker lady. They call her the baker lady.
Yeah. That book style that you're telling me about reminds me of the name of this book, Secret.
Yeah, sort of. Because, like, in the name of this book, of Secret, he sort of makes little interventions.
He's like, why are you reading this? Oh, my gosh, you have to stop reading this.
Yeah.
In the name of this book, of Secret.
Don't tell me I didn't warn you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was pretty good, I think, the A Tale Dark and Grim. It's, yeah. Yeah, the writing style is kind of weird in some parts. Also, like, for example, in the end, not like the end, I'm not going to tell you the end because that would give it away, but Hansel and Gretel, they come up with the plan to, kill the dragon, and it's actually a really simple plan, and I'm like, huh? Why didn't people think of this before? Oh my gosh. Because they've been trying to fight this dragon for a long time. So sometimes I think it's kind of weird. But it's okay. Uh-huh.
Sometimes superheroes are just so silly.
Yeah. I don't like that they're like kids. Because it's kind of weird. They're like, hey, I'm going to go kill a dragon. Yay. So it's kind of funny. And also they don't act like kids. Like they talk all grown-up-y and, like, all smart or whatever. And so it kind of bugs me that they're totally not acting like kids. Mm. But I think it was okay.
Well, thanks for sharing. How about Maddie? What book did you want to talk about today?
Oh, well, I brought two, but I'll start with Entwined.
Okay.
I read four of them.
What were the four that you read?
I read Entwined by Heather Dixon, Bound by Donna Gionapoli, and Toads and Diamonds by...
Heather Tomlinson, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. And A Tale Dark and Grim by Adam Goodwitz. Oh. They're all good, but I think I liked Entwined the best.
And what fairy tale is Entwined based on?
Entwined is based on the 12 Dancing Princesses. It's really good. It's about the main character is this girl named Azalee, and she's the eldest stepdaughter. The book starts out, well, I think I can say, yeah, I think so, because, yeah, okay. Well, the book starts out with her having to host a ball because her mother is sick. And then she meets this guy who's dirty. Like, he fell off his horse on the way there, and he becomes the main character. His name was Mr.
We'll go back to it.
Yeah. Well, their mom ends up dying that night. And I think I can say that because that bases it around the whole story, basically. And then they have to go into mourning, which means they have to wear black dresses. And they have to wear black dresses and they can't dance. And all the clocks are turned off. But most of all, they can't dance. And their mom taught them how to dance from a very, very young age. Like, the youngest girl is a little baby. There's a lot of misters in that book, you're right. And they all learn how to dance from, like, two. So it's tragedy for them that they can't dance.
What kind of dancing?
Oh, like, tradition, like, English dancing. Like, all, like, real, like, not just... Basically, like, all kinds.
Oh, okay.
So, like, different types of dances. It's not just...
Like hip-hop?
No. It's like, yeah, totally. They did that back then. That'd be funny if, like, they were doing the traditional, like, English, like, wealthy person dance, and all of a sudden they just, I don't know, Lady Gaga started or something. Mm-hmm. That'd be really funny. Well, off the subject. So, they dance. They were dancing in their room, but they got caught, and they got in trouble. But this person that she met at the ball, he said there was something, he told her at the ball that their house still had magic passageways from when the High King, who was an evil king and who liked magic, had lived there. So they found one of those in their room. And for some reason, it opened because most of them had been closed up. And there was this guy called Mr. Keeper who led them there. And he was really creepy. He was really creepy. The character is just weird. And they danced there every night. And then some problems started occurring with Mr. Keeper. He says that he's trapped there. And there's a magic item in their house that is still magic that keeps him bound. And so he says that... He tells Azalee that she and her sisters can dance there only if they find the magic item and free him. And so they look for it, but they can't figure out what it is. And then they figure out his actual identity. So it gets interesting from that point on. And their father, the king, he's sort of a secluded person, like he's not very social. And they hate the idea of mourning, but he insists that they continue it. So he's an interesting character in the book. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite character?
Azalee. Well, the guy who I can't remember.
Mr.
Yeah, Mr. I like him, too. But Azalee's pretty cool. And then her brother, Bramble, I mean, her sister, Bramble, and her sister, Clover, are like them. Well, not Clover. I like Bramble for some reason. She's the second eldest. Mm. And the funny thing about them is that they're named in alphabetical order because all 12 of them. Well, there's actually 13 of them because the night that her mother dies, she has a baby, the last girl. But she's never really talked about that much. She's sort of just like a symbolic figure of, for some reason, if it makes any sense. Yes, she found it. Mr. Bradford. That's what his name is. I knew it was Mr. B something.
Mr. Bradford.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's a cool character.
How are you familiar with the 12 Dancing Princesses?
Yeah.
How closely does this book connect with that?
It connects with it, like, the basic part, but there's no creepy Mr. Keeper in the 12 Dancing Princesses. It's, and there's, like, a secret passageway, but it's different. It's just the same as every fairy tale retelling. Like, there's differences, but they incorporate with the story, basically. But they add, like, more action and creepy people and evil people. So, yeah. It relates pretty closely, but and it fills in all the gaps.
So, in the beginning, you said Entwined your favorite. So, what was your least favorite of the ones you read?
I don't know. Like,
they were all good.
Bound to Tale Dark and Grim and Toads and Diamonds all come in second. They weren't great, 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 great books, but they were pretty good. I liked Entwined the best. And I forgot to mention a very important detail. The whole, like, you know, whoever can discover where the 12 dances, where the princesses go at night can be betrothed or whatever to and can marry one of the princesses. That comes in because the king is actually a pretty nice guy and they don't realize that. And he sets out this ad because he knows the dance. He figured that out. So there's all these suitors that come and stay with them at the palace.
What book did you bring, Quinn?
I only technically brought it. It's in my head. I brought Fairest by Gail Carson Levine. Not Levine, Levine. And if you ever read her, Ella Enchanted or stuff like that, there's, like, ogres and trolls and dwarfs and gnomes. Gnomes are very important in this book. You meet them a lot. So she's extremely ugly, our main character, Aza. Extremely ugly. She's hideous. She's just totally off the rocker. People are staring at her. People call her ogre. And it's upsetting. But in the land that she lives in, they take singing very seriously. It's like the main thing that they do. Like, games are involved with it. It's very symbolic and very important. And she has an unmatchable voice. And it's important. And it kind of gets her into danger. It gets her into court. All of a sudden, an innkeeper's daughter becomes this really important figure because of her voice. But some very horrible things happen to her. The queen makes her lady-in-waiting, but the queen is not a nice person. And the king gets very ill, and she becomes ruler. And it kind of gets upsetting for Aza because they don't really treat her very well because of what she's like. And there's magical potions that people drink and that make them beautiful and make them horrible and make them nice and make them cruel and magical mirrors and lots of stuff like that.
I like stuff like that. I just, for some reason, I've always liked fairy tales. They're just so cool. I don't know.
They're awesome.
And since you listened to the audio recording, I haven't actually heard this one before, but I hear that it incorporates real songs into it. Like, they actually sing the songs. How is that?
I think it gives a lot more into it because you really get to feel what some of the characters are feeling by how they sing. And Gail Carson Levine's lyrics were put to music by some guy, and it really helps you.
That's cool.
Is this your favorite story by her, or do you have another favorite?
Yeah, this easily is my favorite story by her.
What other books have you read by her?
Well, I've only read one other book by her, and that's why it's so easy for me to choose.
Which one was it?
I think it's Ella Enchanted, I think.
That's probably her best known book. I also read a picture book by her, which is called Betsy Red Hoodie.
You read a picture book?
I did. I read the pictures and the words.
There was the words in the picture book?
Mm-hmm. It's true. And it was cute. It was a retelling of Red Riding Hood. Mm-hmm. It was very fun and had cute pictures. Although she didn't draw the pictures. She just wrote the words. Oh,
book did you bring, Emily?
Well, I brought two books with me today. One which I read a year ago, which is a book for teens called Ash. It's by Melinda Lowe. And it's a retelling of Cinderella where instead of falling in love with the prince, the Cinderella character falls in love with the king's huntress. And Melinda Lowe is just a really beautiful storyteller. She's really good at writing. It's got like almost a lyrical quality to it. It really reads like a fairy tale, like kind of a classic fairy tale feel to it. And there's fairies. Instead of a fairy godmother, she has sort of a very godfather, although I don't think he's ever called that. But his name's Sidian, and he's sort of haunting and magical in this way that's a little bit creepy and a little bit seductive or something. Like, you can see why she wants to be taken away by the fairies, but he's also a little scary. Yeah. And I liked that. But the one that I read most recently is actually a book for adults, and I was hoping that it would sort of have some crossover potential and be a good book for teens as well. But I think it's really more a book for adults. Some teens might like it, but it's based on a Russian fairy tale called The Snow Maiden, which is about an old couple who makes a child out of snow.
I've read that fairy tale.
Oh, yeah? Are you thinking of The Snow Queen, maybe?
No.
The Snow Maiden you've heard of?
Yeah.
I wasn't familiar with it, but I looked it up, and it's basically an old couple makes a child out of snow, and there's various tellings of the tale, but they all end badly, pretty much.
Then she melts.
She melts in most of the stories. And so this one is about a couple named Jack and Mabel who were not able to have a child and decided to move out to Alaska. This is in the 1920s. So they moved out to the Alaska wilderness, and they're homesteading on 160 acres. So they're in this sort of desolate place. Their closest neighbors are very far away, and they don't have cars, so, you know, it takes a while to get to anybody. So they're pretty lonely, and they're drifting apart from one another for various reasons. But on one day, they sort of have some fun, and they build a snow child outside. And the next morning, the snow child is missing. And then they start seeing glimpses of this girl running through the forest. And sometimes she's accompanied by a red fox. And
I'd like to be accompanied yeah. by a red fox. That'd just be so cool.
And so they're sort of trying to figure out who this girl is. You know, is she a missing child? Is somebody living out in the woods that has a kid? Mabel knows the Russian fairy tale and sort of has this idea that maybe they actually created this child. And it's sort of about them figuring out who she is and getting to know her and their relationships and how she impacts their lives. And I loved it. I thought it was beautifully written. And I really like sort of these desolate landscapes, and thought the characters were really well developed. But again, I don't know that younger readers would be that into it. It maybe has a slower pace than some would be used to.
Some books. So yeah. It took place in Alaska, so like it mm-hmm. wasn't in a magical land far, far away?
No.
That's nice.
I can really imagine what you're saying by slow pace, but occasionally a slow pace is very fun, even though I really can get what you're driving at.
Yeah. And I liked that Mabel is well aware of this fairy tale, so it sort of announces itself as having a familiarity with the fairy tale. And it's interesting because even though it's a very realistic story, you still find yourself kind of constantly wondering, like, is it possible that she's magical? Like, is she going to melt? Like, what's going to happen? So I like that sort of mix of realism and fantasy, or the belief that there might be some magic going on. But we're out of time.
Oh, no.
We could talk about fairy tales for days and days and days and days. They're so fun.
I could do it.
And then, you know what? More days.
Forever. But thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
gonna be alright, it's gonna be alright. Hey Snow White, it's gonna be alright, it's gonna be alright. Hey Snow White, it's gonna be alright, it's gonna be alright.